This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Escape Hour, the podcast, is proudly sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 30 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street. Why not try them today? Look for the rainbow flag or call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Good afternoon. It's Saturday afternoon. You're on the Escape Hour with Russ and Ted. Ted, how are you?
I'm really well. How about you?
I'm fantastic. What a great week it's been.
It has been.
We are so busy in the travel agency at the moment. Everyone's going Japan. So really? Konnichiwa to you and all of our listeners out there. It's fabulous.
It should be Colombia.
No? It will be in a few minutes.
Yeah, it will be. Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
So have you recovered from your Easter break?
Yeah, I have.
How did those hot cross bun sales go?
They sold really well.
Yeah. Well, we love a hot cross bun. You're a joy.
Yeah, I don't want to see another one for a
while.
You
don't want to?
Nope.
Got rid of all your chocolate?
Most of it, yeah.
Okay, that's very good
news.
Which
is good, yeah.
So today we are going to Colombia.
We are going to Colombia. Okay. Have you been?
I haven't, but it's my partner's from Argentina.
Okay.
So I visit South America quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I would love to go to Colombia. So
I've been once.
Yes.
And loved it. Only went to Cartagena. Okay. But
now, were you on a ship or did you fly in?
I was on a ship, yeah.
Okay, the love boat, we understand.
Yeah, you would mention that, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, you've got to meet your future partner somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was a Panama Canal cruise that went through Caribbean, Central America, South America, and ended in Mexico. So it was pretty good.
So the research on Colombia as such is it's a fabulous country right at the top of South America.
It is. It's still a developing nation, but fascinating from the point of view in recent times. It had been pretty much in civil war.
That's right.
And that's changed. And, you know, even from the point of view of LGBTI rights, it's one of the most progressive countries in Latin America.
LGBTI they do have a nightclub there.
They
a gay nightclub in Bogota, or Bogota, as they like to call it, and it's one of the biggest in the world.
Right.
They have 4,000 people boogieing away there every night, so
well,
just a bit of, you know, trivia for you. We're never too old to dance,
not
Ted.
Not at all, but there's more protections there than we have here in Australia, which is
they can marry
pathetic.
Over there in Colombia.
They
can do whatever they like.
Absolutely.
So, and it's such a fascinating country with the rainforest, the Andes Mountains, the beautiful Caribbean beach, and all those cocoa plantations.
Yes.
How do you cope?
Well, how do you cope? Yeah, and that's one of the things we'll be discussing today, some of the main exports from Colombia. In the studio with us today, we've got some special guests. We have James Hurd and Chris McKiernan.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Cow Hunters. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks, Russ.
And, we're going to talk about some of the best chocolate in the world that comes out of Colombia.
Yeah, we hope so. It's fantastic chocolate, and sort of that central Amazonian basin and the Colombian area produces such wonderful chocolate from very different topographical regions, and it's just a great place to grow chocolate.
Yeah, and also too the business that you have that's set up has a huge social sort of conscience to it. It's about chocolate, and it's about putting that out there into the marketplace, but it's also about helping the local people. And tell us more about the inspiration behind
it. The brand's Cacao Hunters. The company is Cacao de Colombia, and it's interesting you talk about the Civil War recently finishing. I mean, the Civil War only finished in Colombia about September, October last year. It was declared over. So it's amazing to think that in this day and age, a Civil War that lasted for 45, 50 years only recently finished.
Yeah.
And that's left the country, not that I know, I'm going to profess to know the better politics of Colombia, but that's left the country in a very unstable state and a lot of poverty. And we've been working in the cacao industry, or the chocolate industry, with Cacao de Colombia for about the last 6 months. And it's a fascinating place. But 50% of all the cacao growers live in poverty. And so not only are we making great chocolate and award-winning chocolate, but we've been fortunate enough to link up with a company called Acumen, based out of the US, and they've invested quite a bit of money into the Investment for Peace Fund. And what that fund is all about is making sure that taking people who have been affected by the armed conflict in Colombia, by the cocaine issues in Colombia.
Yes.
I don't know if you know, but 70% of all the cocaine in the US comes out of Colombia. So it's affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so working with the farmers who have been involved in the the cocaine industry, cocaine wars, and also the civil war, and helping them become legitimate business people and grow cacao.
Yep.
And the Colombian people are very proud of their cacao.
Yeah.
You know, coffee's big in Colombia, cacao's big in Colombia, and they see it as a way to, one of the ways to change their economy and bring a lot of impoverished people out into, you know, into all the second or first world.
Is their coffee as good as ours, James?
Well, a lot of our coffee comes from comes from Colombia. I mean, Chris, I'll introduce Chris. Chris is one of the partners in Cacao to Colombia, in Cacao Hunters here in Australia, and you're originally a coffee trader yourself.
Yes. I founded Red Star Roasters, which is a boutique specialty roaster down here in Port Melbourne. Had the opportunity to visit Colombia probably some 5 years ago. Walk through all the beautiful parts of Colombia in the Andes, where a lot of the beautiful specialty coffee is grown. And, yeah, seeing similar instances to the cacao industry, the farmers are really unrewarded for their toil and the amount of work and effort that goes into producing and yielding coffee once or twice a year is just incredible. So, but they produce some of the best coffee in the world, and some of these beautiful plantations are dying, and some of the farmers are even leaving the farm. So the result for us is our great specialty coffee market here in Melbourne. We won't be able to access that amazing coffee in years to come if we don't have better equitable trade partnerships and balance that, or in that imbalance between you know, farmers and growers and traders. So
And out of curiosity, how did you get there? I'm a travel agent, so I've done a little bit of homework, but what I've found in this year especially is that with Trump in power in the United States, people aren't going to America. So what they're looking at is north and south, and airfares currently to places like Colombia, who are passed out of people's reach, have never been cheaper. You can get to Bogota and Cartagena now for around about 1990, which is extremely affordable. How did you get there when you went?
Yeah, I was... I flew into Bogota, and this is my first trip to Colombia, so everything was organised and planned, and lo and behold, I get to the airport and the lift that was supposed to be there waiting for me didn't arrive, so my fun started in Colombia the night I arrived. So I waited at Colombian airport, was told not to leave the Bogota airport until someone did arrive, which was about 4 hours later. Stayed in Bogota and then made a trip of probably 7 hours up to the Andes, and I thought the police motorbike procession was just for theatre, but it was actually
for
protection.
Real.
Yeah. And they followed us everywhere. So every plantation that we visited, we had a police escort. So
rockstar treatment.
And the plantations we visited were the actual growers of our coffee. So what we did, I don't want to make all that coffee, but what we have done is have some transparent farmer direct relationships where we're buying coffee direct from farms, and have an intermediary who's a Colombian, who knows the industry well, who grew up there, and just helping you know, put these arrangements together. And like we're doing with the cacao, you know, we're paying above the odds to get that better quality specialty coffee, and the farmers are incentivized for doing that, and it's absolutely parallel with the cacao industry as well.
Fantastic.
And it is, because coffee and cacao are very similar in that respect, especially when it comes to the flavor profiles. They take on the terroir and the all that kind of thing that comes into it. And and I think, too, just from the Colombian point of view, I mean, we were talking earlier about how this program that you're involved with is actually bringing cacao back to the Amazon and to where it was always. And that's what was always grown. It was used as, you know, currency in a lot of those parts of the world. But again, it got lost when, you know, the cocaine situation, the cartels, you know. So I think it's quite amazing that somebody has actually said, well, let's shift that back and do something good for the local people so that they can actually benefit from it, because it's just the cartels are the ones that benefit from the cocaine, sadly.
The chocolate industry is a fascinating industry. You trace it back to 300-400 years ago when the Spanish invaded South America and took cacao back to the Spanish court as a drink, added sugar to it, and really ran this cacao industry that had already been the local people, the indigenous people of Colombia and different regions, had already been trading as currency, but been using as a drink, to 40 or 50 years ago, where a lot of the chocolate industry left South America and particularly Colombia. I mean, oil became very important in those regions, and so they forgot about really the cacao industry. And the native plants don't grow as well in Africa as they right. do in South America. And there's in the University of West Indies, there's a professor there who's characterized 2,400 varieties of cacao.
Yep.
And he's got his own, well, it wouldn't be such a small nursery, 2,400 plants would be quite a big nursery.
Yes.
And he's discovering cacao plants all the time.
Right.
One of the reasons for cacao hunters, and the reason we're called cacao hunters,
yep.
is because we go and find plants that have thought to have been extinct yep. Previously.
Right.
So we have our Araucos chocolate, which is made, which is grown by the Colombian indigenous people up on the Sierra Nevada,
yep.
the border between Venezuela and Colombia.
Yep.
And they've been farming, they can trace their farms back for 500 years.
Right.
We've got a variety called Boyaca, which was previously, 5 years ago, they thought the Boyaca plant was, or the plants from the Boyaca region were thought to be extinct.
Right.
So we've discovered another plant. And that's our mission, is to make the best chocolate,
yep.
Help sustainable farming yep. and help people impoverished in Colombia, but also to help the environment and try and find varieties of the cacao varieties. That were thought mm. that were extinct. So it's got different layers to it. It's yeah. a wonderful business to be a part of.
And the factory is actually making the chocolate there. It's not being sent to Europe or the United States or
no.
wherever else.
So we make the chocolate in Popayan, which yep. is about a two-hour flight on a very, very small plane that lands on a very, very small runway.
Are you a good flyer, James?
I'm a good flyer to a point, but when there's a storm in Popayan and there's water all over the runway,
yeah.
not so good. But you know, Popayan's a little town. It's a university yep. town in Colombia, southwest of Bogota. And if anyone's watched Narcos, the TV show, yep. they'll know it's very close to Cali and Medellin.
Yes.
So it's yep. not too far from the heart of
the cartel world.
The heart
yeah.
of the cartel world. But it's a yeah university town that's very old, and you know, the factory's built there, and they make the, they pick the chocolate, they make it there, and then ship it around the world.
Mm. And that is the real Benta Bar
yes.
concept behind what cacao hunters are doing. The majority of the chocolate, you know, in Colombia is exported to Europe and USA, and essentially that's turned into really low-grade confectionery,
yeah.
and a lot of those chocolate foodstuffs have about 15% chocolate in the end. So this Benta Bar concept that cacao hunters have put together, as James said, it's grown. It's all yep. native cacao beans from Colombia. It's all manufactured, packaged by hand in Colombia in the yep. factory. So what we're getting here in Melbourne and Australia to enjoy the product we're importing in here is, you know, the best chocolate in the world. Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know anybody in this room or listening today that doesn't like chocolate.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
We're back here with James and Tad, and we are talking about chocolate and Colombia. And Chris, I'm sorry, yes. Chris, I didn't mean to forget you. And it's a fabulous day afternoon, and we're talking about Colombia. And you guys, you were talking about, well, we were talking about on the break, is it safe to go there?
I think it's a very safe country now. My time in Bogota with the friend who was helping with our coffee program, his parents were around in the 65, 70-year-old age
yep.
bracket, and they'd seen a lot of you know, things transpire in Colombia. But to see them very proud at night, very late at night, walking around in Bogota, around the malls and the markets, yeah, they say it's as safe as it's ever been in the last you know, 20 or 30 years. So it's a very safe country, and what a lot of people don't also realise, it's also regarded as one of the most of the five mega diverse environments in the world.
Yep.
You know, per square meter, I think it's regarded as the most diverse ecologically country in the world in terms of its biodiversity.
Yeah.
So you know, it's an amazing place to go and visit and see, and it's a great ecology. It really, really is. So.
But I think it's like anything. Any city you go to, you have to be street smart.
Mm.
You know, and you have to travel smart. I mean, anything can happen anywhere at any time, even here in Melbourne. I mean, it goes down all the time. You just may not necessarily hear about it, but it's just...
I worry about those travellers that are kind of out there and they go and do things that they wouldn't normally do at home. That's my philosophy. Don't go somewhere and do something that you wouldn't normally do when you're in Melbourne. Yeah.
Or educate yourself about
it. Tate, have you ever been to Canberra?
I have.
You don't have to watch yourself in Canberra.
<It's>, don't you?
I grew up there. It's very
Did you grow up in Canberra?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, a long way.
And you didn't get kidnapped in Canberra, I take
it? No. Almost in Bogota, but no, definitely not. But I think it's a very safe place.
That chocolate that we had during the break is, I have to say, the best chocolate I've ever had.
It's beautiful chocolate. Oh. I love it.
Well, that's the Araucos. That's from the Araucos region. The native people who have been farming those cacao plants for 500 years. And we actually won best micro-batch dark chocolate in the world in 2015 for that chocolate.
Incredible.
And then we also won in 2016 for a different variety. But, yeah, it's a very hard to get to region. Negotiating with the local people for those beans is quite a hard process. And just to give you an example, on the stock exchange, a cacao bean will sell for between $3,500 and $4,000 per
tonne. Yes.
We pay between $8,000 and $9,000 per tonne for those beans, depending on the rate, just because it is so hard to get.
It's amazing.
The Araucos indigenous community is one of the most geographically remote communities. So, what cacao hunters have done there is obviously entered that chocolate into those global awards in 2015.
Yeah.
But also, there's a gentleman by the name of Hanan who appears on our website and our Facebook. And there's a great story behind him. He's one of the tribal leaders of the Araucha Indians, and he's had been to Tokyo just recently for the chocolate exhibition there. Yeah. So he's really the face of that indigenous community there. So it's a really good story. So you can find some information on our website on that.
That's great. What's your website again?
Cacaohunters.com.au.
Okay.
Glad you asked, Ted.
Yes. Just want to clarify that.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. We ask the tough questions.
Did you both ever think that you would be going to Colombia? Was that ever on your list? Or
no, I didn't think I'd be selling chocolate. I was a football coach two years ago. That's the last thing I thought I'd be doing. But
I know you couldn't get any further away from your chosen career, but chocolate sounds like a very sensible way to
there's
go.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful industry, and it's a wonderful product. I mean, a lot of people talk about it where the wine industry was 40, 50 years ago. You know, when I was growing up, my parents were drinking wine. It was either white or red. It probably came out of a cask.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas nowadays, sort of our generation knows the grape variety, the hill, the individual names of the grape and everything. And that's where sort of fine chocolate's going in terms of the varieties. And now they've gone into looking a lot of research into where the flavour profiles of chocolate come from. So it comes out of the variety of the bean, but then the fermentation process and how you ferment chocolate changes very much that flavour profile. So for our chocolates, we have four different chocolates from a place called Tamaco, which is on the southwest coast on the Pacific in Colombia. Yeah. And we get very different, same beans, we get very different chocolate flavours for these four different chocolates just from the fermentation. So we can triple churn it, double churn it, single churn it, leave it in the banana leaves for a bit longer. It's a wonderful product that you can do a lot of different things with.
And even the roasting changes that as well in combination with the fermentation, which is quite interesting as well.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people understand how chocolate comes about. I mean,
that's the best part of it. You're able to educate people with what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to educate and sit down. And because when you taste the chocolate and you put it on your tongue and you let the flavour notes come out in your mouth, you can see berries and wood and nutmeg and these flavours come out without any additional flavouring. Mm. It's just the cacao bean and a little bit of sugar. Mm.
We're finding the marketplace too is changing a lot. I think as we started getting into the chocolate business with Cacao Hunters, you know, fetching $12 for the chocolate you've just had for a 28-gram bar seems excessive, but that's where the market's heading. Mm-hmm. I was in New Zealand launching Cacao Hunters over there recently, and I saw a bar that was smaller than ours for $17. Yep. It was around 25 grams of chocolate. Yep. So the market is ready for it, definitely. And I think if you look at some of the specialty food stores and the patisseries, you know, the shelves are being stocked up with you know, high-end chocolate now, and consumers are really understanding how it's made, where it's from, and luckily we've got a great story behind ours that people are interested in.
Yeah, definitely. And it is we've talked about this before on the show where, like, you know, the global financial crisis, chocolate was the one area that didn't suffer. Mm. It was a luxury. People still wanted to indulge in. And I think it's because it is an affordable indulgence. Mm. And, you know, obviously there's levels of it. Mm. But it's one of those things that people still will always enjoy. Mm. And if they can have a piece of chocolate and makes them feel good, and they enjoy it, yeah, why not?
Well, I can't stand it. You two are the fittest and the healthiest people I've seen. How much chocolate are you eating?
A lot. It's actually good for you. It's very good for you.
We went before we ate the chocolate. We were nothing like what we
were. Yeah,
we
were.
Okay, so I've got to eat more of your chocolate to get that body right. But,
medically, it's shown that chocolate's above 70% in cacao. Yep. is very good for you. High in magnesium, iron, zinc, and also antioxidants. So if you can convince yourself that drinking a couple of glasses of red wine every day is a good thing for you, then definitely you can convince
yourself a
chocolate bar a day.
Are you both on that yet? Are you chocoholics? Or?
Pretty much.
Yeah. The gentleman in our business that looks after all the inventory is concerned about how much samples we're consuming a day.
Particularly yourself.
Particularly
Chris
myself.
Has got a black hole in his house. He's into this hole.
Starting to quantify that.
But just on the... Melbourne is just such a great city for chocolate as well. I mean, you go anywhere in the world and you talk about coffee and everyone comes back to Melbourne as the best baristas and best coffee in the world. And I get the feeling that chocolate's doing the same thing in this city, and it's everyone knows how great a food city Melbourne is.
Definitely.
Chocolate seems to be really, really going strongly, not just for us, but for a lot of different brands.
Absolutely.
In Melbourne, and we have this amazing chocolate festival at the Paran Markets in a couple of weeks that we're presenting our chocolate at, and we can't wait for that.
And you guys are sponsoring that, aren't you?
We are indeed.
The Wicked Festival,
we'll be sitting up there with the marquee, and we're involved in the chocolate eating contest, not our chocolate though. I think we're giving prizes for the winners, and we've got an opportunity, I think, to connect with consumers at the Prayer Market at the Wicked Festival and just really talk about the backstory of cacao hunters. Yeah. It's going to be really important that we pass over what the farmers are doing, what the growers are doing.
How much do you weigh, Chris?
How much do I weigh?
Yeah.
That's a silly question, James.
No,
it's not.
80 kilos?
I actually want to know.
I'm looking forward to you in the chocolate eating competition, doubling your weight and eating 80 kilos of chocolate.
I think I'll put on 5 kilos if I can take out first place.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour this Saturday afternoon with Russ and Ted, and we've got some very exciting guests with us today. We've got Chris and James, our chocolatiers for the day. We still haven't found out how much Chris weighs, but apparently you don't ask a chocolatier how much he weighs. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think you're just being very sensitive, Chris. All the listeners now want to know.
Okay, it has a 7 in front of it, has it?
700 and...
I'm really interested about this history that you guys have come up with regards to chocolate and Colombia. I found that quite fascinating just listening to you both before, that it came from tribes and it goes back many centuries. So did you want to expand a little bit more on that, or
James really founded the idea and brought the idea of cacao hunters back to Melbourne, and approached myself and another business partner with the idea. But for me, being involved in the coffee industry for 11 years, as I said, the story had direct parallels with the coffee. And I think, where Colombia is going with their chocolate, if you read what the economists are talking about, that the cacao production in the world is shrinking.
Yes.
70% of the world's cacao still comes from West Africa. But it's only recently where Colombia, through the support of USAID and the government, have decided to open up about 80,000 hectares of new land for fine cacao plantation. And that means that, they're expecting Colombia to overtake Peru and Ecuador as two fine production nations, bigger nations. So Colombia will overtake them. And, and Colombia, as I said, has really entered the fine chocolate market only in the last few years. So it's exciting times ahead for Colombia. And as I said, just the indigenous communities that are growing this product, we have to support them. And James alluded to the price of cacao on the stock market. In most instances, cacao hunters pay above 50% to the growers for the quality beans that they're producing. So, so I think
Which
it's a great backstory,
A fair trade only stipulates 7% above market
rate.
That's right. So that's a big difference. If you look at the rules of fair trade, that's all it is, which isn't a lot when you're looking at
And that's a question we get asked a lot about. Yeah. Are we fair trade certificate certified, and are we organic certified? And unfortunately, for a lot of these farmers, they can't afford to buy fair trade certificate or organic certification. A lot of our farmers are organic. We believe that we're above fair trade in almost all instances, and that's what we how we define ourselves on, really. And really, yeah, we pride ourselves on the fact that the company believes in growing not just our business, but the cacao industry in Colombia and helping, legitimately helping, you know, 50% of the growers live in poverty. I mean, that's it's
crazy.
Just wrong. So we're very passionate about it, and it's one of the reasons. And it's not just Colombia. I mean, you look at Venezuela. Venezuela has probably better cacao plantations than anywhere in South America, but you very rarely do you see Venezuelan chocolate because the political environment means that you just can't.
So bad,
you can't go in and get it. And I'm no, I'm not a politician, and I, you know, I wouldn't want to speak too much on Venezuelan politics. But it's very sad that people can't use the natural products that they grow in their country to get them out of poverty.
And Colombia does only produce 68,000 tonnes of chocolate a year, so it's very, very small. They sit 11th on the world production list, so we're hoping that'll increase threefold over the next couple of years.
If you keep eating them, that's going to increase very quickly, Chris.
But I think people don't realise, too, is that cacao only grows 20 degrees north and 20 degrees south of the equator, a very narrow band, so you can't just grow it anywhere. No. So from a sustainability point of view, there's not a lot of it being grown, and
we have to look after these production areas. Yeah,
that's right. And if there's now farmers that are giving up cocaine production as opposed to cacao, well, that's going to help that whole situation a fair bit, hopefully, and not be a problem with the availability of it, because obviously the cosmetics industry use a lot of the cocoa butter. You know, they take a lot of the demand, that obviously raises the price, but you know, it's just one of those things. There's only so much being grown; you can only produce so much of it, and that's a key thing.
It's a finite resource.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have visited recently over the past few years, and were hosted there. Your the standard of accommodation was good, and the public infrastructure for transportation and getting from A to B was fine.
From the airport into hotels around Bogota, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mentioned earlier my trip to the Andes. We came probably halfway down the Andes and had a meal or a dinner at a restaurant there. And you know you're in a very, very foreign place when in the main sort of mall, a family rides past on horseback. And you're only a couple of hours out of Bogota. But getting around is great. It's easy. And as James alluded to, you just got to obviously have the right people that know where they're going. Yep. But I can't wait to go back for chocolate, coffee, or just to visit. It's amazing.
You guys are fluent in Spanish?
Sí.
That's as far as it goes.
Hola.
All right, that works.
Yeah, we plead ignorance. That's why we don't get in so much trouble. Right.
So, and aside from your chocolate, what food did you enjoy while you were in Colombia?
Well, most of my time in Colombia was spent. I stayed on the farms, the plantations with the farmers themselves. So, their indigenous food is cornbread, a lot of chicken, very, very strong coffee that you could stand your spoon up in of a morning, and fruit, bananas. As I said, you walk out of your guest room and there's banana trees and plants literally 5 meters from your bedroom door. So. So I just lived on the food that they ate, and again, amazingly, a family of probably seven or eight people that I stayed with for a couple of evenings never leave their farm. They're self-sufficient, so never been to the city.
Really?
So yeah, you're happy to eat and live with them and just enjoy what they're producing on the land.
Yeah, plantains, big in Colombia. Yep. So that sort of big bananas, really, and they cut them and fry them and. Mm. Sounds very healthy, doesn't it?
It does.
That's big. But I was fortunate to meet one of the partners in Cacao de Colombia. He's a farmer and makes his own buffalo mozzarella. So he would supply with plenty of...
Right.
It was beautiful, actually. Very nice.
And did either of you get down to Cartagena?
I didn't know.
No, close, but not...
It's a beautiful port.
You love it?
I did. Yeah, it was a long time since I've been there, but I did enjoy it. There's the old, you know, Spanish UNESCO. Colonial architecture and... I didn't like the sloths that they had.
Right.
You know, those little creatures that they try to throw on you.
Yes.
So, yeah. but I do remember buying a lot of coffee while I was there and enjoying that, but it was good, yeah.
That's fantastic. And all the cruise ships do pull into to Cartagena when you're doing your Panama Canal cruise. Yep. So you're quite right. So if anyone's interested in a cruise, they can certainly drop into Colombia that way.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things about cruising is good that you get a day here, a day there, so you know you can always go back and check it out a bit more. And yeah, it was good.
I think Medellin, is that the right pronunciation?
Medellin.
Yeah, that is the most cosmopolitan city I went into in Colombia. It's amazing cafes, really vibrant.
But that's really the place everyone's kind of scared of.
Yeah, no, you know?
That's what I was reading.
I could have spent another
morning,
couple of days there. I spent a few hours there.
I was really curious about that, and it's interesting you should say that, because they say only a year ago, you know, people weren't going there, and it was too dangerous to go there, and now it has become really cosmopolitan.
There's
and
boutiques there that are very, very expensive in that main strip, so it's very nice.
The fact that the I don't know if you know the answer to this question or not, but maybe have a bit of insight to it. The fact that the cacao is replacing cocaine, are there any ramifications to the indigenous growers for doing that? I mean, is it a situation that it's just an accepted part of moving forward in the future? Or, you know, does that create problems?
I think it does create some problems. Yeah. I mean, the repatriation process, taking, you know, a family out of the cocaine growing area and taking them another area to grow cacao, it's not like you're taking them and saying, righto, grow cacao in this cocaine plantation. You're actually helping them transform their life, and you can't keep them in the same area.
Right.
And again, I'm no expert, but this is a big part of, it's a long process. It's not like you're going to change this overnight.
No.
But obviously the US government's very interested in it, because they're trying to take cocaine off the streets of America, and the Colombian government's very interested because they want to, you know, people to be legitimate. So it's a great cause, it's a great purpose, but it does cause issues if you're going into the cartels and you're telling them, taking some of their people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but it's also something very smart that the government's doing. Clearly, I mean, obviously, it's something that's going to benefit the people. It's going to benefit not just Colombia but the world, really. If it's cutting down that supply of drug that's actually so debilitating to so many people, you know. And I think it's just one of those things that I find it interesting that, you know, again, Colombia is this developing nation, yet it's so progressive in so many ways.
I think the best thing consumers can do is obviously be aware of what they're eating, and in terms of chocolate, not just cacao hunters, but other product coming out of there. And if they're aware of supporting these producing nations, then if they're producing more, it's better for jobs, better for the balance of the of the groups and the families that have been repatriated. So I think just being more aware of what we're eating is pretty important.
But I think
where it comes from,
you make a good point of that too. And also just getting back to the fair trade side of things, you know, a lot of people, if they see a package and it doesn't have that fair trade stamp, they just look on. And I think it's again, being an educated consumer, do a bit of research in that company, you actually find they're actually doing something better than what fair trade is standing for, even though it's still standing for good things. It's not always the be all and end all of it, you know, that a lot more a company is doing is actually something they can do a bit of research on and learn about it and be a bit more educated about it.
What we are aware of, that the owner of the factory, Carlos, is doing, and we speak to Carlos regularly, is he's negotiating and dealing with the farmers directly. There's no intermediaries. There's no multinationals in there. You can't have a more transparent value supply chain there than what he's doing with his growers. Yeah. I think it's incredible. So, yeah, more people need to understand that the value chain and supply chain, the mechanics of that. I think, Ted, you're right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Also, too, there'd be with, like, the indigenous peoples, there'd be a language barrier, too. I mean, they wouldn't all speak Spanish. It's all, I mean, I forget how many dialects.
Most do speak.
Is it Spanish?
Spanish, yeah. Most do, but there is an indigenous language up there. But it's interesting when you, just talking to Carlos about when he goes to buy the beans, you can't just buy the beans from because the men, you have to buy the bags from the women to make it an equitable trade.
Right.
So it's not just about buying the coffee, buying the cacao. It's about actually supporting the whole community and helping to build schools and helping to make sure that people can live a sustainable lifestyle that's not under the poverty line, which so many people unfortunately have in Colombia for a long time.
And what we really enjoyed about the opportunity with cacao hunters is this is really the first time cacao hunters have been imported out of really Japan and Colombia. It's only been sold in those two countries.
Right.
The chocolate maker at Cacao Hunters is Japanese, so she obviously has a network of selling chocolate through Japan. But we've got an opportunity here to bring it this side of the world in the Southern Hemisphere. And again, the more we can sell, the more obviously it is helping the plight of the farmers
and
the growers. So that's what we're really excited about, just making a big difference there.
And it brings awareness too. We never would have heard the story if we didn't have a product that was available.
A good vehicle to do it.
Yeah, and interestingly, a lot of the packaging, we tell the story on the packaging, so you actually get to see and understand what the people look like, how it's helping their children, how it's helping the farms. So it is very much, and it costs a little bit more because of that, because you are trying to tell a story. Yep. Unfortunately, we wish we could get the cost down, but it is what it is, and you can't have something really cheap and also help
That's right.
The community as well. So.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to ask, how much is a bar of chocolate?
Oh, it's
our product?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have three or four different tiered range. So we have the Origin chocolate, which generally starts at around sort of $4.90. Mm-hmm. The packaging is, I guess, de-specced. It's just nice little beautiful craft paper sachet. Then that same Origin chocolate goes into a beautiful individual box bar, so that has all the printing and the backstory. And that sells for around the $6.90, $7, $7.50 retail. And then the heirloom, which you guys tried this morning, or today, this afternoon, that sells for around $12. So it is premium. It's not a block of Cadbury top deck. It is very, very different.
Doesn't matter.
And it's much,
worth
much
every
smaller,
cent.
But it's, we think it's worth every cent. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you got any more?
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour with Tad and Russ, and we have Chris and James in here today, and we're discussing all thing Colombian.
Yes.
Before you arrived today, Tad, I was talking to my fellow people on our house, and we were talking about how sexy Colombian men are. Should we ask the boys if the men there are sexy, or should we talk about the girls there? Hello.
About both.
that's where you were brought in, Chris. I was talking about chocolate. You were talking about
oh my God, he's blushing.
In Colombia.
A bit sunburned.
Yeah.
I'm happy to talk about the Colombian women. And I think my wife has tuned in, by the way. Sorry, Sonia, in advance.
Just reporting.
Yeah, just reporting. The Colombian women are extremely attractive.
Are they?
Yeah, very, very. Yeah.
I'll leave it
from
to
young
Chris.
To old. and obviously, in that good, clean air, it does service them very well. The Colombian men, James, over to you.
Very, very handsome men in Colombia.
There you go.
They all work out, don't they?
They all work out.
Do they? Okay. Those Latinos
stamp
can be very
approval.
Sexy. We do like them. How did you both fly into Bogota? This is the question that I want to know. I the research I did last night was that you jump into LA on... Qantas, and then you would fly straight to Bogota on Avianca. Did you guys do that?
I thought of Houston. LA, uh-huh. Houston, yep. Houston,
yeah,
Bogota.
That's easy. Yeah.
I've done a couple of routes. One was out of London through Avianca, and one was via Panama. That was strange. I can't remember the airline.
Copper Airlines?
Might have been. Yeah, yeah, but Avianca's, Avianca's fantastic.
Yeah.
New planes, great airline.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that they've really spent a lot of money.
One in five stay in the air, so it's
that's always good.
That's a joke. That was a joke.
That's the offshoot of Plummet Airlines.
Yeah.
That sounds like something Pan Am would say.
Yeah,
actually.
That's right. Yeah.
It's very, very impressive, Avianca.
And so, yeah, from a traveller's perspective, you both sound like you were impressed with Colombia. Obviously not on your radar before.
No,
so,
definitely not.
And you're both going back, so... what were the highlights aside from your endeavours in chocolate there? What would you recommend was the must see and must do?
The diversity of as we talked about the produce, the amount of food that the diversity in the markets, and the fact that it is the most diverse country in the world from the amount of products, whether it be flowers, whether it be fruit, whether it be whatever it is fascinating. And you get a sense from the people that they're proud of that. Bogota itself is a pretty hustle and bustle and a pretty smoggy city. Yep. But once you get out into the countryside, it's very beautiful. Mm.
And I think if people knew that it does, as I mentioned before, it holds 15% of the world's biodiversity. It's quite amazing. So definitely encourage people. I'm an outdoors person. If you love the outdoors, there are tour groups that go up to the Andes and all the coffee fields and plantations and cacao plantations. I think that's the place to go. Get out into the mountains and
country.
The hills. Yep. I think you're at 2,500-3,000 metres, and it's pretty amazing. Some great hiking up there.
But it's also amazing just from a pop culture point of view too. I mean, Shakira, Sofia Vergara, seriously, like lots of people come out of that.
I was wondering why you'd loaded Shakira song after
how many
Shakira
other
song today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was your choice to have.
Yeah, it fits in with the theme. Yeah.
Fantastic. She loves chocolate too.
She does, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you fit people in chocolate. I'm just not convinced by all of that just yet. But
we'll try. We've got four packets here. See how many. Eat them before you leave.
And
they're a bit Moorish, I tell you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
They are. It's great.
The weight will drop off you.
Are you
just,
sure
just
about
by eating
that?
Them. Yeah.
The chocolate festival you guys were talking about, that's a free event, right?
Yeah, we get it at the Pram Markets on the 7th of May, Sunday the 7th of May. I think it's 10 till 4. I'm giving you a bit of a plug. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do that. But it's a wonderful festival. It's the second year it's being run. And really just a chance to indulge in the Melbourne chocolate scene and try different chocolate and talk about chocolate. And there'll be presentations on how the cacao bean is turned from cacao bean into chocolate. There'll be how people make chocolate, the great... There's a great chocolate maker in at the Pram Market. I'm not sure if I can give him a plug, but he'll be there plying his plying his trade.
He does do good chocolate, doesn't he?
He does do very good chocolate.
Will be there.
Yep, so get along to the Lombardo store, and we'll be there as well. So it's
it'll be a good day.
I think they had 10,000 people go through there last year.
28,000.
28,000 people go through there last year. So get there early, and
it'll be good.
The Pram Market are doing a good job.
And there's a dunking machine this year, so I was just wondering.
So I've just found out, Tad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, I think James has put his hand up for that as well.
I would, but Chris with his shirt off on the dunking machine will create a stir.
Yeah, so well, hey, you know.
You can still do it in a wetsuit, James.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jeez, it's getting very hot in here all of a sudden.
No, that's good.
I'm sure my kids and my wife will enjoy coming along if I'm on a dunking machine.
Yeah, I'll enjoy that too.
Yeah.
All the money that's collected goes directly to charity.
It's an amazing cause then. So
yeah,
I'm sure we could get a few people to get involved.
Yeah, and we need one more person to do it. So.
Chris is in.
Maybe David, you lose out there.
And he David, our other part.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's in for the short straw.
Yeah. Well, we came in here, so he's
got to
carry
some load.
Joy 94.9.
Wow, we are back with the Colombian boys. That was a quickie, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay.
I love a quickie. Whilst we're on air, what's the weather like in Colombia, boys? It's a temperate tropical heat, so it's T-shirts and shorts everywhere and away you go.
It depends. If you're in Bogota, which is at altitude of, I think, over 2,000 feet, it never gets too hot or too cold. And you're on the equator, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you're down on the coast, it can get quite warm. So it's because of the topography and the height and the mountains and the ocean are all very close, it changes very quickly.
Yeah. But generally, at the lower levels, it is pretty tropical and humid and what you expect from it.
Early mid-20s most of the year, it's nice.
Yeah.
Sounds very nice. And how did you get around without knowing much Spanish? Your English speakers everywhere, or did you do a lot of pointing and
police guard?
I did brush up on my Spanish before I left. and look, I think most Spanish people, if you fill the gaps with a few Spanish words, they're generally pretty good, and they can understand what you're trying to say. I did have some interpreters there, of course, so I had it pretty easy, but you can still get around Colombia and using a bit of Spanish.
And there are some parts of Colombia where English is a second language too, so I think it's probably like any foreign country. If you show a bit of facility with it, even if you butcher it, people who speak English will help you out. Yeah,
I was sitting around a dinner table in Argentina last year, and by the time nobody could speak any English, so by the time we got around to Barbara Streisand and Julie Andrews and all of these Bette Midler icons, we were all right on it together.
And a few bottles of red.
Oh, absolutely, it's the only way to go. Yeah.
Makes it good.
Where there's a will, there's a way, as they say. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I just found if you talk very quickly and move your hands a lot.
Now that's very Latino. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Seemed to work.
That's good.
What is your top tip for travelling?
James?
I know, put you on the spot. Do you like to roll or pack your shirts?
Something. I'm the worst packer in the world. I just throw it in and zip it up. Sleep on the plane. Like, I can now sleep anywhere. So just get as much sleep on that flight as you can and hit the road. I like to go for a run. And stay out in the sunlight as much as I can when I get to a place, and that seems to get you into the time zone pretty quickly.
Except in the hills outside of Medellin.
Yeah, you don't want to run too far. I did go for a run one day in Popayan and had a lot of strange looks when I went over one certain hill. I backtracked very quickly.
Narcos, right?
Yeah, let's just say I ran home quicker than I ran there.
Yeah, you would have.
What an amazing show this has been. We're out of time. I know. We could keep going. I know. We need to get the boys back on for another show sometime. Yeah, that'd be
definitely
great.
Love to come back.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you coming in and enlightening us on Colombia and what you guys are doing there. I think it's a great thing. And, obviously great for the people and great for us because we're getting great chocolate in the country. It's great.
Thank you. Website once more?
cacaohunters.com.au.
We'll look forward to seeing you next week. This is goodbye from Ted and Russ on the Escape Hour. And we've had James and Chris in with us today, and it's been an awesome hour.
The Escape Hour, the podcast, is proudly sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 30 years of food, family, and fun at 238 Lygon Street. Why not try them today? Look for the rainbow flag or call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.